is the Dean Show. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Thank you for tuning in for another episode of The Dean Show. We're here every week, same time, same channel. We got another exciting story for you of someone who lived that life of debauchery, a life that doesn't bring peace and happiness. If you've been wanting to know the purpose of life, why you've been created, if you've been wanting to know, is there more to life than just chasing that man or woman, the money, the material things, things that don't bring peace and happiness? Are you disrespectful to your parents? Are you not given the rights that others have upon you? Then you want to tune in for this show, because if you have that void inside and you've been taking Xanax and you've been filling it with drugs and alcohol and all these other things and it's not going away, this guest of ours, he was having a void. And he was living a life that many of you out there are living today that's not bringing you peace and happiness. So we want to benefit from his story. That's why we brought him on. Diego, here on The Dean Show, will be right back with his wonderful story. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show. Welcome back to The Dean Show. We got Diego in the house. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How you doing, Diego?
Alhamdulillah.
My Latino everything. Brother.
Yes.
Do I hablar español?
Sí,
that's a silly español. Question to ask someone who's native. But no, there's some Spanish that don't speak Spanish.
Yes, you're right.
They may be born here, but you were born in America?
I was born in America. My family's from Ecuador.
From Ecuador?
Yes.
And you still kept with the language? You still you speak it in your house? You speak it?
Yes, alhamdulillah. That's the first language, Spanish. And we speak it at home to our parents. And alhamdulillah, that's we try to keep that. We definitely don't want to let that go, and we try to pass it on to our children as well.
Yeah. So the people heard me mention when I opened the show, I mentioned what is predominant with many of the youth, even adults, nightclubs, partying, you know, trying to get to a level of prestige with money so you can have a nicer car, nicer suit, nicer dress to go out with, get the attention from the boys, from the ladies, and the boys just going around looking for the girls. They're on the hunt. So not really respecting the parents, disobeying the parents, just living a life of desire. So there are many parents tuning in, and they're like, yeah, my son, my daughter, they're out of control.
Right.
You were out of control?
Actually, I was, to a certain extent. I preferred my friends over my family. My mom would like to have family gatherings, or, you know, wanted us to be, you know, more in tune with family. But I preferred, you know, hanging out with my friends. Whenever they had something to do, I would choose them. If I gave my family time, would it be very short? And that's the type of lifestyle that I enjoyed. The parties, you know, hanging out with friends, with women, the clubs, and everything that comes along with that. And just basically wasting time. I found myself times where, you know, just hanging out outside, not doing anything in the cold, just because I wanted to be outside. So it was a little bit unfortunate.
What do you mean hanging out in the cold, just to be
outside? You know, just a group of friends, just hanging out, let's say in the park, or, you know, just obviously just not doing anything. And just because I did not want to be at home, just because I didn't want to be with my family, and just because I preferred my friends over them, which was very unfortunate, you know, but that's what I was caught up in.
Were people always trying to fit in and trying to do whatever, you know, monkey trick it took to kind of fit in, to be like with the cool people, the cool crowd?
Definitely. We used to have little clubs in high school, and then even before that, where you had to do certain things, you know, you had to dress a certain way, you had to look a certain way, you had to act with the women or the girls in certain ways in order to be part of that quote-unquote cool group. and then everyone else was put on the side. So you had the popular kids, and then everyone else.
So, where did you fit in?
I tried to fit in with the popular kids. So I did find myself in that circle. And even when I went to high school, when my brother was there, he was already a junior and senior when I joined, and I wanted to be with them, not with my brother. So every time I saw my brother in school, I kind of shied away because he was almost finishing. He was part of the intelligent group, and I wanted to be with the popular kids.
Now, your family, you came from a background of Catholicism.
Yes.
Were your parents practicing the religion?
My parents were. My mom was very, she was very religious. She always believed in God. And, she was the one who took us to church on every Sunday and advised us, to do the same as far as religion and to believe in God. But as far as what I felt and my heart wasn't really attached to religion in that way. My take on it was, if I do something wrong, I'll run to the church, I'll light up a candle, I'll pray a few Hail Marys, a few Our Fathers, and I'll feel like a new man once I step out. And because of that, I felt like I can do anything that I wanted, and I usually kind of steered back into the wrong direction. But all I had to do was run back to the church and do the same. So it wasn't something that I was really feeling. It was just kind of acting nothing really came from the heart.
Why do you think so many people are drawn to doing what you are doing? Just to hanging out with the homeboys, chasing the girls, going to the house parties or the nightclubs. You kind of graduate, right? You can't get into the nightclub because you need to be 21.
Right.
But then, so the people have house parties, right? In basements,
right.
They get
Definitely.
The kegs, right?
Yeah.
So do you have some of those? Why are people drawn to that?
It's an easy lifestyle. It's fun, quote unquote fun for the time. A lot of people say that you want to, live your life to the fullest. And I used to be the ones who host the parties. I used to host some parties.
You were like the promoter?
Yeah, and because of that group that I was in, have the parties at the house. And that was kind of,
Was there a cover charge? Did you make some money?
Sometimes we charge. So other times, we just invited people just to
hang out.
They
say, I know Diego, and they let them in free.
It was a small basement, but we crammed a lot of people in, and
You felt like the man now. You're throwing the party,
of
right?
Of course.
Now you're like Donnie Brasco or Tony Montana. Now you
of
feel
course.
Like.
So that's the kind of relationship and that's kind of feeling that you want to have. You go back to school the next week, and you have a sense of, that was a cool party. And that
people
attention.
People are talking. They're giving you attention now.
Exactly. That attention is what I wanted. And but at times it was very limited, So every time it kind of faded down, you want to do something else to bring it back up.
You're identifying with a lot of the youth now that are watching this, or people that have been there, done that. Some people still in the same ship that's sinking. That's a sinking ship.
Of course.
Isn't it? You got drugs. It's
yes.
No good for you. The bottom line, at the end of the line, you keep doing drugs, you're going to be a failure. Is
yes,
that right?
Of course.
You keep drinking alcohol, you're going to be a failure. You keep chasing your lessons, you're going to be a failure. So that's a loser lifestyle. But
of
many
course.
People that tune in, they're connecting because they're maybe parents or their friends are talking about, live the purpose of life that the Creator has told you to live. Fulfill that. Live that. You'll have peace. You'll be successful. When you die, you'll get paradise. They're not hearing it, but now they're identifying with you. They're like, why did he leave that?
Of course.
He was like a popular guy. He was doing the things that I want to do, but were you happy?
Actually, I wasn't. I made my family sad on numerous occasions. I found myself just trying to fit in. And even because of that fitting in, I found myself in the hospital numerous of times. I had alcohol poisoning just because I wanted to fit in. I got arrested numerous occasions just because I wanted to be the one that people came to. There was a time in high school where, I was with a group of friends, and just because I had the car or the car that my brother lent me, and I wanted to drive everybody around and be the one to cut class and not go to school, I got arrested with a whole bunch of other kids. And, I made my parents sad. I kind of disappointed them, and that happened in numerous occasions, which, after a certain time, you know, it's not a cool life to live. It's not really, you know, something that you can benefit from.
So you guys are just riding around, cruising for a bruising. Right, what, you got 12s, 15s in the back, and you're booming the bass, and
yeah,
everybody's and just like a zombie, boom, bobbing their heads. Yeah. Nonsense.
It's no purpose.
Yeah.
Absolutely no purpose. It's like driving to something, just going to one place, from one place to another.
No map. Like, where are you going?
Not
we're just, you
not
know,
at all.
Heading down.
Basically, maybe driving blind.
Driving blind. That's a good example.
You know?
Driving blind. Many people are driving blind. We care. That's why we're sharing your story with the world. We'll be right back with Diego on why he is living the purpose of life that's from the Creator, and it brings peace, joy, and happiness. The rest of his story when we come back here on The Dean Show.
Come and see what everyone's talking about.
Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Allah.
Allah.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
But the argument here is that God, out of his love.
Because in all honesty, if you really wanted to do something, you're going to find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Absolutely.
There are a few problems here. Why were people of generations and generations and generations being told to worship one God, ask that God for forgiveness, ask him for salvation, seek his mercy, no one else's?
So he picked up the Quran, which is the last and final testament, the last and final revelation.
Yeah, I was 16 years, 8 years inactive reserves and 8 years active duty. But the bottom line is that I'm an ophthalmologist. I'm a specialist in cataract and refractive surgery. I'm the medical director of a major eye center.
These are not God. God is the one who created everything in this universe. That's the one I'm going to worship and prostrate to. How can you go wrong doing that?
You don't believe in him, you're out of Islam. Top 10 reasons why Jesus cannot be God. Let's get right to it.
Cannot be God.
Number 10.
Number 10.
Back here on The Dean Show with Diego, and you had a wonderful story to tell. Like many of the people that are out there, they're living a fantasy in their head. They make the CD of the newest pop star that came out, throw it in the car, and they're booming the system. And now maybe they got, you know, the girls in the back and guys in the front are both mixed in. They're just cruising. Car accidents. You had a car accident that actually at that point now, one point that you almost died, right?
Actually, yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I was in the whole party, still in the party scene, and still trying to blend in, and not necessarily blend in for the popularity of it, but more because I was already into that lifestyle. One time, yeah, I did go to a party. And there was drinking involved, and I was supposed to go to a different event, another party per se, but I had to go drop someone off, which was about maybe 15, 20 miles from where I needed to go. So once I did that, once I dropped off this person and was on my way, I kind of woke up, and I woke up outside of my car. I was looking onto my car, and it was already damaged. The whole driver's side was
so now you got in a car accident.
I got into the car accident, but I didn't know. I drove about maybe like 5 miles unconscious. I didn't know what was going on. I woke up with the car already smashed, the driver's side completely basically smashed in. And a lot of people said, you know, how did I survive? I was looking with a whole bunch of people on the sidewalk, and I even asked the individual next to me, I said, what happened? He said, you got into a car accident. And for me, it didn't happen. I didn't realize it, I didn't feel it, and I felt like, Allah took me out of that situation without harming me. But I did obviously get in trouble with the law again. And at that point, my brother came to me and said, we have to make a change, and we have to do something that is going to allow us to get closer to Allah and better our relationship with Allah, and create something that, you know, we get away from this, because it wasn't helping us. It wasn't benefiting me. At that point, I see my family kind of down, but still supportive. Alhamdulillah, they never pushed me away. They were always supportive, and that was something that, you know, these people, my parents, were giving me so much support and love, but I'm over here doing these things to disobey them and kind of leave them on the side. and when it wasn't benefiting anyone.
So at what point now did you realize, okay, I got to start living the true purpose of why I've been created? This lifestyle's getting played out? It's getting tired?
Yes,
of course. So at what point did you accept this way of life? How did you conclude that, okay, this is not just another religion, it's not a man-made religion, it's not an organized religion organized by man or men, it's the way of life from the Creator providing proof, evidences, right, beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is from the Creator, and now I need to submit to what God wants me to do. I need to obey Him because hellfire is true, paradise is true, and at the end we're going to be judged on the day of judgment. And if I live this, you know, debauchery lifestyle, hedonistic lifestyle, just chasing the boys and getting their attention instead of the attention of the Creator, if I just keep submitting to my desires, I got a good chance I'm going to end up definitely in the hellfire. But if I do good, live good, I'm going to have peace, tranquility in life, and I'll have paradise. At what point did you realize this is the truth and I want to get to paradise?
Right. My brother accepted Islam first. He was amongst the first in our family to accept Islam. And I always knew that there was something, my relationship with the religion, like I mentioned before, going to church and just trying to pray, I knew there was something, someone out there that I had to turn to. It wasn't my parents, it wasn't the priest, I had to turn to someone. And when my brother accepted Islam, I said that it wasn't for me. I didn't want to leave the lifestyle. But I knew that there was something missing in my life. So I asked God or whoever was up there to, if this is right for me and this is something that's going to benefit me, something good for me, to please just place it in my heart, because I wasn't able to decide on my own. My desires were too great. I didn't want to leave them off. And so the next morning or a couple of days later, I kind of woke up with this desire of wanting to accept Islam, because it was clear. I had friends who were
Muslim. You already studied it?
I had friends who were Muslim. I had friends who told me about Islam and all these things that, you know, when my brother would go and ask questions, I would be with him. He would answer some questions as well because he was already learning. So everything made sense as far as the Creator.
Was it something like storybook, story tales, Santa Claus down a chimney,
definitely
like
not.
The fairy dust fairy tales and stuff that just like bizarre? Or when you're asked, when the truth is presented to you, was it something that's lucid, it's clear, it's not like this hocus pocus stuff?
Right, it was definitely clear.
Yeah.
It definitely made sense because of, you know, when you turn to Allah, when you turn to God, you have a purpose, you have a reason. You don't have to turn to a man, to a woman, to your parents, to your brother. You're turning to the Creator and you're having build a relationship directly with Him. And so all of that made sense to me. The statues, the idols, the angels of believing or worshiping them didn't make sense to me. So everything had clear evidence. The Quran had evidence. All the questions had answers to them, and everything made sense. Everything was clear. And to know that Allah is merciful, and to know that Allah, you know, will forgive you as long as you do what you need to do, as long as you turn back to Him, as long as you, if you do something wrong, or if you have this type of lifestyle, but you return to Him and you worship Him the way He should be worshipped, it doesn't matter how high your sins are. It doesn't matter what kind of or how low you think you are. You turn back to Allah, and Allah will forgive you and continue to help you. So all of that made sense to me, and was a beautiful
He's
thing.
The most loving, the most kind. Allah is the one who's the most merciful, that He forgives all sins.
Definitely.
As long as we come to Him with sincere heart. He doesn't look at your color, shape, size,
definitely,
but He looks at your heart. So your heart was yearning for the Creator. You called upon Him. He facilitated the way.
Yes.
So call right now. Call us, 1-800-662-ISLAM. Call now. Call on the Creator alone, not His creation, not to a saint, not to Jesus, not to anything that's created, but to the one Creator. And that's what you did. Let me digress a little bit and talk to our sisters in humanity and sisters in the deen, many who are seeking not the attention of the Creator, but the attention of the boys. Mm-hmm. They want to wear the tightest clothes, you know, the tawdriest outfits. And at the end, you know, the boys will sing them sweet nothings in their ear and lullabies. And at the end, they end up getting used and abused. They end up getting taken for a ride. Is this something, because you were there, how do men view women? What do they want from women so we can help save the woman from being in a catastrophe?
SubhanAllah, you know, this is an unfortunate thing, but I'm able to appreciate it because in the past, that's how I was. I looked at women as just a figure. I didn't care too much about how they what they had inside of them, or you know, how they thought it was just something physical, pure physical. And Allah created us in a way that, you know, men and women are attracted to each other. That's normal. But it's just how we go about it and what we do in order to get together is the way that needs to be controlled. Unfortunately, now you find kids, you find youth, teens, boys and girls just mixing in with one another just because they see things on TV, they hear things on the radio and the music, and they're just coming together trying to mix and trying to live that lifestyle. I find where I live in New Jersey, girls, young girls, dressing in short clothing.
Very provocative.
Very provocative. But when they're walking by an adult or something like this, they try to cover themselves. Why? Because by nature, they feel a little bit uncomfortable. But then when in front of the boys, you know, they don't mind. They think it's something cool, something cute. But then they find themselves in difficult situations, maybe getting together with a boy that doesn't really care.
He doesn't care about you.
Doesn't care at all, and then leaves them off. And now these girls, they end up pregnant, 11 years old, get pregnant, 13 years old, pregnant. And
But he said he loves me.
He said, yeah.
Is that a lie?
For the most part, it is.
For the most part, it is. A boy will say anything.
Anything to get closer to the girl.
To get what he wants.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's unfortunate because at the same time, the boys are taught that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of...
And then he's got bragging rights now.
Yeah.
Now he's using your name, maybe writing it in a bathroom stall or something, right?
Right.
You pissed him off now, put your phone number, I had her. This kind of crazy stuff is going on?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it happened in the past and it's happening more so now. And unfortunately, when the girl... the reputation of the young girl now is ruined, but the reputation of the boy is on a high status.
Yeah.
Now he's the popular one in school, and it's not a fair trade.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a fair
trade. So this is the protection. Islam is the best self-defense to protect the woman, protect the man,
definitely.
Protect us from all the evil that's out there, calling you to everything pure, organic, good, and we'll be right back with more to talk about how you're more respectful to your parents, you're married, you respect the woman more, you respect yourself more, you're happy, you got peace. We'll be right back with Diego here on The Dean Show.
What happened to my best friend? I don't see him here. In Jannah, Allah opens a window so he can see his friend in hell. He looks at his friend, doesn't say, "You okay? Can I pull you out?" He doesn't say that. He said, "Man, you almost took me to the party with you. You're the one who used to crack jokes with me about religion. You're that guy." And then, now imagine this guy who's in Jannah looking at this and saying, "Oh, thank God I didn't listen to you. Because for a second there I was thinking about it." He just saw hellfire. So he comes back into Jannah and it's like he just got here for the first time. The words in the Quran are amazing. أَفَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَيِّتِينَ Are we not going to die anymore? Really? But wait, he already knew that. He's in Jannah. But when he saw a glimpse of hellfire, the most beautiful thing you could appreciate about Jannah, first and foremost, like it's a reintroduction to Jannah, what was the first thing he says? We're not going to die anymore. We're not going to be tortured. There's no more pain. That's the second thing he appreciates. Why? Because he just saw what pain looks like. SubhanAllah.
Back here on The Dean Show with Diego, and we're reaching out to the whole of humanity, people who are watching us internationally all over the globe, and parents are sitting watching tight because they see that their daughter's drifting off. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We want the best for everybody. So we're giving them the inside scoop from someone who was in the scoop, who was there, been there, done that. Alhamdulillah, all praises to the Creator of the heavens and earth, who guided you.
Yes.
Your parents, are they happy with you? They've even accepted Islam?
Yes, alhamdulillah. My brother accepted Islam first, and it trickled down to myself, my mom after a couple of years, and then just recently my father, which makes it really nice, you know, the family now we're able to interact with each other with a purpose, with religion, with God, and it kind of makes things, a lot smoother. Granted, we're not the perfect family. We still have our little arguments and things like that, but at least we know who to turn back to. At least we know our purpose and how we need to be with each other.
So how did they end up? Wait, who else in your family accepted Islam?
My brother,
your
myself,
brother, your...
my mother, and my father.
Okay. And your wives?
Yes, we're both married. So our wives are Muslim, and alhamdulillah, Allah bless us with children, and inshallah, you know, we build the family in that way as well with our children. And I also have two cousins who accepted Islam. But because of the interaction, you know, it's a little bit difficult with them as well. They're kind of, they have that surrounding. They're young girls and they have the surrounding. It's difficult growing up, you know, nowadays where in the city where I'm from. So
a lot of Latinos are accepting Islam.
A lot of Latinos are accepting Islam, especially in the areas that I'm in. You know, the family values are there even before Islam. So it kind of just enhances it.
Yeah.
You know, it brings family closer together and it gives us all reason. You know, again, we have Allah, we have God, and kind of just puts all the pieces together.
How about for the boys, the young men, the old men who are sitting there writing poems for women's now? They're sitting there and they're figuring out, man, that's all he's thinking about all day is how is he going to get Susie, QZ, Fatima, and he's making lies or even truths, but now he's going to manipulate her in the wrong way just to get what he wants. Then he's got the black book and he puts her name in there. Now when he's bored with A, he goes to B, and it's a never-ending cycle of destruction. He's trying to get away from it also, like when he thinks, purpose of life, I'm not living it, there's a void, but then he goes back to pornography, he goes back to, you know, drugs and alcohol, and he feels like, you know, I got to get out of it, but he's still in it. What advice do you have for him?
I mean, it's a difficult situation. I would definitely, you know, even for myself, you know, take it slow, take it day by day, but, you know, if God is involved and if Allah is involved, then, you know, as long as we turn back to Him and we worship Him and we build that relationship, Allah will make it easy. But definitely not go overboard, not think that from one day to another, everything's going to change. It is a progress. It is something that has to be done very slowly. Because if not, you know, we may fall even harder. We may not like a certain thing and we may go back to it even worse. Mm-hmm. So day by day, take it easy and just try to do things that, you know, we all feel things that are correct. You know, hanging out with family, doing things that are good, and just try to busy ourselves with things that are more positive than trying to follow someone or trying to follow TV or movies and things of that nature.
Yeah, the reward of paradise, did that entice you knowing that, look, if I live a good life, this organic life that is pleasing to the Creator, because God doesn't need our worship.
Of course.
Okay, some people have this false note. Why should I worship God? Does He need that? He doesn't need it. But we need it because by worshiping God, we remember God. We're more conscious of God. We live our purpose. That we get the peace. And God wants the best from us. So if we remember God, we're going to become the best because we're going to be doing God's will, not our desires. So the reward is paradise. Did that motivate you thinking about, man, paradise? I can have anything beyond imagination. And hellfire. That's a reality. Day of judgment. I'm either going here or there. Paradise and hellfire. Did that motivate you to do good and stay away from evil?
The paradise definitely motivates. What motivated me the most was the opposite end, was the hellfire. Why? Because I knew that I was doing things that were incorrect. And one of the major things was disrespecting and disobeying my parents and family, which I know that was a no-no. So that kind of... you know, knowing that hellfire is true, knowing the punishments of the hellfire, knowing that I can end up there if I continue this way, that kind of, you know, steered me in the right direction. So that was the motivation that I tried to find in myself and still until today, you know, try to keep those things in mind, you know, that we're not free from it. We just have to keep on trying. We have to keep on worshiping Allah. We have to God. We have to keep on, you know, obeying our family, our parents, being kind to people, and doing things that are good, doing things that will benefit ourselves, our family, and everyone else around us.
Being good, doing good. For the last minute that we have, tell the people, tell them in Spanish, translated English, for those who are tuning in. They don't know much, but they are enticed by what we had to say about only worshiping the Creator, not His creation, living a good life, how God wants us to live, and now the way of life that they were upon. They're like, I don't want to worship a man or a woman, and this life is just getting played out. Tell them in Spanish, what's the first thing they should do? What's the first thing you did? Explain to them a little bit about Islam. Talk to them, please.
In Spanish or in English? Or both?
Do both, simultaneously. Let's see if you could do it. Juggle both.
Juggle both. Definitely go back into the religions of Catholicism, Christianity. We all believe in one God. So go back to the roots of it. Regresar a lo que es la religión, que es solo creer y entender que solo hay un Dios. And just basically, you know, start from there. Believe in that, believe there's only one creator, and then everything else will fall into place. And then branch off into believing that the prophets, that he sent prophets and messengers to guide us, to help us, to aid us in having a better lifestyle and to living a straightforward lifestyle. And for the translation purpose, para creer en los mensajeros, los profetas, que vinieron a guiarnos y nos vinieron con mensajes para ayudarnos en nuestra vida.
Yeah, you know? So go back to what's common between, Allah is saying, yeah, go back to common, what's common between us and you, that you worship none but the Creator, and don't set up a partner next to Him. And in many of these books that have been changed over time, you still see the pure monotheism of not worshiping the creation, but worshiping the one God. And when people start to call upon the one God, and seeing that His message was sent through the messengers, right?
Yes.
That they'll come to know that, man, Jesus was a messenger, and He taught about another messenger coming after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Yes. And then they'll do what you did, and over 1.5 million, they'll testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except the one God, and Muhammad is the last and final messenger. Sure. And then they'll accept Jesus is the as one of the messengers, along with Abraham, Moses, and that's what makes a Muslim, isn't it?
Yes.
So just tell them one time, repeat after me. There's nothing worthy of worship but the Creator of the heavens and the earth.
There's nothing worthy of worship but the heavens of the Creator and the earth.
Spanish, give it to him in Spanish.
No hay ningún Dios excepto Allah que se merece nuestra adoración y nuestras oraciones.
Worship the Creator. I love saying this. Worship the Creator and not His creation.
Tenemos que alabar a Dios, a Dios, a Allah, y no la creación.
Maybe we've got some people in Spanish now waiting at the lines. They can call us anytime. 1-800-662-ISLAM. Spanish.
Nos pueden llamar a 1-800.
1-800-662-662-ISLAM.
Islam.
You also have you're the president of a company, a design company.
Yes.
Where can people go to? I got like this cool shirt. It says, I am Muslim.
Yeah, we do graphic design and printing, and we kind of branched into doing some apparel for the youth. We saw t-shirts from the rappers and, you know, the mainstream. They have all these messages that have curse words and have, you know, these ill messages that we didn't feel, especially the Muslim youth, it was the right direction for them to go to. So we tried to create something with a little bit more purpose, a little bit more meaning, and as a form of calling other people to Islam. Some of our messages on our shirts actually intrigue the non-Muslims. They ask questions, kind of opens the doors, makes it easy, you know, getting through the fashion aspect of it. And so that's where we started to try to help in this whole in changing of, you know, the way the youth and the Muslims think.
May Allah reward you. May the Creator of the heavens and earth reward
you.
Thank you for being with us. May this program be a benefit to so many people who are lost out there in a jungle of confusion. And inshallah, they call upon the Creator, hearing your story, calling upon the Creator alone to guide them like you did. Only God. Only the Creator. How you say that in Spanish?
Solo un Dios.
Solo un Dios.
Solo un Dios.
How you say goodbye in Spanish?
Adios.
Adios, mi amigos.
Yes, adios.
Peace be with you.
You too.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
And that's another brother's story of how he came to this beautiful way of life. Doesn't matter if you're French or Chinese, African American, Latino, this Russian, German, Greek, this way of life is for everybody. It's a way of life that brings you peace, happiness, something that money can't buy. So turn to the owner of peace, the one who created you, the one who took care of you when you're in your mother's womb, the one who's providing you with the air that you breathe, the food that you eat. That's the one God, the one who created Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and sent them with a mission to call you to paradise, to purpose. And the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon all of them, they all came and taught and brought the same message, worship only the Creator who created you, not His creation, and obey the message that was sent. Call us. Operators are standing by. 1-800-662-ISLAM. We don't need your money. We don't need your money. We just need you to really reflect and think why you've been created. Hearing His story, I hope it motivates you to do good, to be upon this way that brings you everything that money can't buy. Peace, prosperity in this life, paradise in the next. You want to avoid the hellfire, we got one shot to get it right before death overtakes us all, then it's too late. We'll see you next time. Visit us, get the new Dunya Tadeen at this website here, eddiedvd.com. We'll see you next time. God willing, peace be with you.
And if we're going to worship something, I figured I might as well worship the Creator instead of any of the creations.
Now, upon investigating all the religions, I remember finding out the meaning of what Islam is, what a Muslim is. Those who surrender themselves to God is a Muslim. Those who surrender, submit to God, God's will. That is it. Islam was pure. It was just, you just pray to God, your Creator.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone.
If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.